From the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to wish all you fathers a wonderful Father's Day and a very enjoyable one with your families. As we think about how important it is to have godly mothers, yes, it's true, we all know that, but godly fathers are needed as well, setting the proper example for our families, for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, if we have them. Are we leading the family in the way that God would have us to be? That's an important question to answer, isn't it? And hopefully we're doing just that. So again, we wish all you fathers a wonderful Father's Day. Now, last Lord's Day, we were answering the question, are we able to recommend our religion to others? And in order to answer that question, we asked two other questions. And the first one was this, are we able to recommend our religion to others by the Scriptures? Having Bible authority. We can't overemphasize that. We just need to really, as preachers and teachers of God's Word, get people to understand they need to have authority for what they do in religion, for what one must do to obey the gospel. And then how do we worship God? There's a pattern. The work of the church, the organization of the church, all these things need to be shown why we do them by the Scriptures, how the church is to conduct itself and as an individual living for Christ. So that's an important question to answer, isn't it? And then the second question we asked was this, are we able to recommend our religion to others by the way we live? Are we letting our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:16? When we become a Christian, we're changed, and our lives need to show that, and others need to be able to see that, yes, that person is living in accordance to the will of God. So we want to pick back up this morning and asked two more questions in regards to answering our main question. Are we able to recommend our religion to others? And we'll continue our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to welcome you this morning to PFE. And we all should understand the importance of doing just what that stands for, preparing for eternity. That's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, at this time, we want to take the opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville, yes sir, as we come together in our Bible classes. What are we studying? The Word of God, of course. And how precious it is. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we need to follow the pattern of the New Testament. That's having Bible authority. That's in truth. But also in spirit would be with a proper attitude. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcomed if you are able to come. And something else to mention. We're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. And let me give you the address again. It's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. It's the zip code, our office phone number. Area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get back to our study as we're asking, are we able to recommend our religion to others? by the way we work for it and support it, is question number three. Are we able to recommend our religion to others by the way we work for it and support it? In Matthew 6:33, notice, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, some people are very dear to us. Without saying, that goes without saying. For example, our parents, as we're honoring fathers today. Children, yes, they're so very dear. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, brothers and sisters. And we don't want to leave out husbands and wives, do we? Yes, and good friends, good neighbors, and so forth. They're dear to us. So, we are willing to work for those, are we not? Because they are dear to us. And we would defend them if necessary. Oh, yes. In Ephesians chapter 5, notice verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Jesus gave himself for the church. Husbands, would we give ourselves for our wives? Well, we should if they're dear to us. That's the point we're making here. So, we would work for our families if they're dear to us. We're going to defend them if necessary, to protect them. If we're not willing to work for our family, how could they be dear to us? Well, they wouldn't. So, how do we then support our religion? Do we defend it? And of course, we need to work for it as well. But you see, if we fail to defend our religion, it's not very dear to us, is it? Well, notice Paul said in Philippians 1:7, as he was in chains in Rome, he said, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds," that's chains, "and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." Paul was in the defense of the gospel. Verse 17, he said, "But of the other love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Can we say that? Are we earnestly contending for the faith, Jude 3? Think about what's going on right now. This is being termed Pride Month. Well, I have a different way of putting it. I would call it Perversion Month, celebrating perversions. Now, I love the souls of these people that are practicing perversion. Yes, and I want to see them get out of sin. So I'm not going to substantiate them in that sexual behavior that's sin against God. I don't want to see them lose their soul. So my religion, you see, I need to defend it, because the Word of God is saying that this behavior is sinful. You can see that clearly in Romans chapter 1. It's against nature. And dressing up like a woman, if you're a man, that's an abomination. You see, transgenderism, you can't change your sex. You're what you are when you're born, male or female. That doesn't change, no matter what you do, surgery or whatever. And so in defending the faith, we need to speak out against it as sin, this behavior. What is it doing to our children as they're being indoctrinated? That's right. Some parents are speaking out. Some are not. Some are in agreement with this and support it, that their child can change their gender. Well, that's hogwash. That's a lie. from Satan. So this is a good example, you see, of defending the faith, earnestly contending for the faith, and speaking out against sin, even if it means I'm going to be locked up. It's coming to that. Some people already have been arrested for speaking the truth. So, how do we support our religion? Do we defend it and work for it? How dear to us is it? If we do not work for the church, give of ourselves time and money, how could it be dear to us? Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. It's one or the other. Matthew 6:24 made that clear, didn't it? Who do we serve? Well, we should want to serve Christ and stay with his doctrine. That's the true religion, you see. So if we really love Christ and his church, we will defend and work for it. We'll work for our religion, as they did in the early church, Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And verse 10, Galatians 6, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith, the Lord's church, of course. But let's go on and ask the fourth question in our study, and that is this: are we able to recommend our religion to others by the way our religion supports and works for us? Of course, we need to work for the truth and support it as we just studied, but now we need to turn that around. Does our religion support and work for us? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God's providential care is special for those who are faithful in the true church, the church of the Bible, the church that Jesus died for, that he is the head of, and it certainly should have his name, the church of Christ. He possesses it. So, when things go wrong in our lives, like sickness, a diagnosis of cancer that's terminal, the death of a loved one, parents, children, that really hurts, a spouse, yes, that's difficult. But what about how we handle it? Does our religion support us and work for us in those situations? When there's family problems, rejection, does our religion give us something to hold on to? Notice 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's right. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Can we really say that? Notice it again. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me, even if he's going to arrest me and lock me up for preaching the truth. That's right. Are we able to recommend our religion to others by the way our religion supports and works for us? You know, It's one thing to know Psalm 23. I think most of us would certainly know Psalm 23. If we've been in the church and as children brought up in the church, we should know Psalm 23. But it's another thing to truly know the shepherd. That's right. Psalm 23, let's notice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That psalm is very dear to us, is it not? It should be, but we need to know the shepherd. Since we're weak and sinful, our religion must be able to support us. Notice Paul, in writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Church of Christ in Corinth, the second letter, chapter 12, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. As Paul had a thorn in the flesh, you know, and he asked God three times to remove it, prayed about it, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And Paul then understood, and he said, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul understood he needed God, and he became stronger. We can do the same, can we not? Yes, and suffering can help us do just that. But without Christ, we're nothing. John 15:5. But through Christ we can do all things which strengtheneth us. Philippians 4:13. So, only pure religion. That's right, pure religion, undefiled, can cleanse us from our sins and keep on cleansing us as we sin. As 1 John 1:7-10 tell us. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So, are we walking in the light as He is in the light? If we are, we have fellowship one with another. Then the blood of Christ is going to cleanse our sins. But if we're not walking in the light as He is in the light, we're not getting that cleansing. So we better do something about it and get forgiveness of our sins, repenting. And if we have not even obeyed the gospel, then we certainly need to do that. And then we'll have contact with the blood of Christ. So as we've studied the last two Lord's Days, a very important question, eternally important. Are we able to recommend our religion to others? And we started out last week again by the scriptures. We need to be able to recommend our religion to others. If we don't have scriptural authority for what we do, we're not standing in the right place. And we're not in the right church if we can't show by the scriptures what we do in order to worship God and live a daily Christian life. We have to be able to show that by the scriptures. That's by the way we live was question number two. And our daily lives, yes, that's again needing to be seen by the scriptures. We follow that. And then today we've asked two more questions. By the way we work and support our religion and defend it, standing for the truth, loving lost souls, caring about those who are swept up in the current cultural immorality, going the wrong way, away from God. This is concerning us, isn't it? And it certainly should. So are we working and supporting and defending our faith for the true religion? And as we just studied, by the way our religion works and supports us, it should, because if we're staying in the truth, that is, it's going to work. God cannot lie, it's impossible. And God cares for us. And we have this assurance. Hope is as an anchor of the soul. It's not wishful thinking. It's earnest expectation. Understanding that it's going to happen like God said it would. And we can take assurance and have confidence. And our faith is going to see us through whatever trials, tribulations, temptations that we may face, as we've just studied. So, having looked at these four questions, the last two Lord's Days, let's examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:5 tells us to do just that. Are we able to recommend our religion to anybody? And if we can't do it by the scriptures, by the way we live, by the way we work for our religion and support it, by the way our religion works and supports us, then something's wrong. And so we come to the final question, which is this: do we need to change our religion, or does our religion need to change us? To have true religion that is pure and undefiled, we must obey the gospel of Christ. And we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the doctrine of Christ, which is the gospel of Christ, the good news. We have to start out by hearing the truth. Faith can come no other way. Someone says, well, I was out in the field and the Lord spoke to me in a dream or whatever. Well, that's not the way it works in the scriptures. No one was saved like that. We have to hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Stay with the scriptures. Belief. Here's the next step. In John 8:24, Jesus said, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If we don't accept that Jesus is the Christ, he's the only begotten Son of God, we cannot be saved. After we believe that Jesus is the Christ and the evidence is insurmountable, now we're ready and motivated to repent. That's difficult, of changing one's will, is it not? But it must be done. As Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. So I'm going to change my way of thinking. My way of life is going to change. I'm going in a new direction and following the will of God and giving up my will, which is going to lead me to everlasting destruction in the fires of hell. That's not what anybody should desire, to hang on to their will and lose their soul for eternity, and there's no end to it in hell. That's a continuation. So I'm ready to repent and make that change of wills. Now I'm ready to make the good confession. This is stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Notice in Acts chapter 8, Philip, as he was beginning at the scripture where the Ethiopian eunuch was studying, which was Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus, verse 35, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? How did he know about baptism? Well, when Philip preached Jesus, he had to preach baptism for the remission of sins, obviously. And as they went down their way, they came unto a certain water. Yes, and that's why the eunuch was wanting to be baptized, when he saw that water. What's going to hinder him from doing that? Well, here it is. Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made the good confession. That's unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He didn't sprinkle him. He didn't pour water over him. He went under the water as a burial. That's right. Romans chapter 6, notice verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Jesus shed his blood in his death, John 19, 33 and 34. We contact that precious blood when we're buried underwater into his death, and then we come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. And the Lord adds us to his body, the true church, the church of Christ, Acts 2, 47, where we need to remain faithful even unto death. And we thank you so much for listening today.